perfect man, we go faith, virtue, knowledge, so forth, as we understand that we are working those virtues within us and the manifestation of those virtues, and so they're all building one upon another. So we know that our whole basis of the way that we worship God is based on faith. And we know that faith is based on, obviously faith is a revelation, but a revelation of who we are, knowing who Jesus Christ is. And so we have faith because we love God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we're talking about foundational. So we love him because he first loved us. And so that, therefore we have faith, because when God loved us and we realized that he loved us, then that built a confidence in God. That built a faith, that built a trust in God. And so that trust, remember, faith and love, they're connected together. So we have that trust, we have that faith, and that is based on love. And so there is the foundation, and you build on one another, right? But as you put on these slabs, as you would, you know, of the pyramid together, so each one builds on the other, but not all of them are fully there yet, right? So they're building on. So, you know, you're not a full manifestation of Christ if you just have virtue and faith. You're not a full manifestation if you come up to godliness, evenly brotherly kindness up to there. But you become up to the fullness when you reach the fullness, when the cap of the pyramid is put on, which is Christ. Now, in the stature of the perfect man, Brother Branham calls it and likens it unto the great seal. So he says Christ cements the whole structure together, and then he seals it, and he calls it the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he says when that cap is put on there, it is Christ. Now, each of these qualities, like godliness, virtue, and stuff, he says virtue by Jesus Christ, brotherly kindness by Jesus Christ. But he says, when it comes to the top, he said the person of Jesus Christ. And so we are to not just manifest all these different qualities, but the very person of Jesus Christ. Now, if you'll bear with me a little bit here, I'm going to read some things, because there was a reason why the seals were preached, because it was to open our understanding, and we've got to, with this opening of the understanding, we've got to be listening to exactly what he's saying. Yes. It's not just, we gloss over things, but the bride is listening. She's trying to catch what exactly he's trying to say. And so, remember, if you look in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 24, talking about the wise and the foolish virgin, the wise was the one that was watching. And remember, if you look at what happened as the foolish one was shut out, the reason why she was shut out, because, well, he says, he warns after that, that she was shut out. He says, watch and wait. Watch. And if you, let's turn, if we would, to Matthew chapter 24. Okay, if you look at, oh, it's chapter 25, I'm sorry. So when you look at chapter 25, and it says, you know, we know what happens to the foolish, and then it says in verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. If you look at chapter 24, which is talking about the end time, and you know that Brother Brandon matches the seals with chapter 24, and talking about all the things that's going to happen. And you see in verse 40, for instance, there shall be two in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. So the bride is watching and looking and waiting and looking for those signs. The foolish virgin is asleep. She's complacent. She's not looking. And so she's comfortable where she's at. She feels like everything is fine. She's in the message of the hour. She believes the prophet of God. She believes the scriptures. She believes that she's saved and all those things. And those things are fine. But the bride is different. Amen. She's looking and she's trying to find out what is going to please my master. Amen. And there's something in her that's not satisfied with her current state. She will not be satisfied until she reaches the manifestation of Christ. And so something is always pushing for something else. So she's there and she says, God has changed me up to this point, but what else is there? What else am I supposed to do, Lord? What do I need to do to be in your will? And so we go through these stages and where God brings us to a stage and then we're happy, then we're at peace. But then there's a shaking up of the nest and says, you need to go out a little further. And so there's an unsettling because something is not fulfilled. And so the bride wants to know what the will of her master is. What does he want me to do? How can I please him more? And you looked at Esther, that was her attitude. She wanted to please the king no matter what it took. And so the bride wants to obey everything that God has. Amen. What is it? Amen. And so when we look at the seals, we got to pay attention to what is he saying in there? Because he was trying to open the book. Amen. And remember, the book was to be opened and revealing the mystery of Christ. And remember, John representing the bride was to take that book and eat that book. She wasn't just to look at the book, but she was to totally eat that book. And when you say eat, that's not just reading, but letting it assimilate into the body. Amen. You becoming part of it, it becoming part of you. Amen. And so now, we have got to see, what is he talking about? Now, Brother Brennan makes a statement. He says that, God wrote the Bible in such a way as a love letter. And so when he wrote this love letter to his bride of Christ, and he makes this statement, he says the only way to know what he's saying was to know him and to be in love with him. So you cannot read between the lines, as Brother Branham speaks of, unless you know him and are in love with him. So he likens it to his wife. He says she writes a letter to him, and he reads it, and she says all these things, but he knows there's something else under there that he can read between the lines because he knows her, and he's in love with her. Amen. And so the same thing is with Christ. And so when we read the message of the hour, when we read the scriptures, we've got to be in love with him. Amen. And we've got to know him. Got to know the author. Just knowing the Bible, knowledge, is not knowing Jesus Christ. So now, because and each message in the seals was for a purpose, and he makes that statement in the first sermon, he says, everything is for a purpose. And then he goes into the blood, into the bleach, right? But he says all these things are for a purpose. Now I'm going to read some things that were on my heart that kind of help us cage the way our spiritual thinking is about Christ. Now he says this, in the God hiding himself in simplicity. So he says, it's strange to think how the God does such a thing as that. God will hide himself in something so simple that it'll cause the wise to miss it a million miles and then turn right back around. And that some simple thing in the simple of his way of working and reveal himself right again. I thought I made a text that we might study this before we go into the great teaching of the seven seals. Many miss him by the way he reveals himself. Now, men has their own ideas of what God ought to be and what God is going to do. And as I have made the old statement many times, that man still remains man. Man is always giving God praise for what he did do and always looking forward to what he will do and ignoring what he's doing. See? That's the way they miss it. They look back and see what a great thing he done, but they fail to see what a simple thing he used to do it with. See? And then they look forward and see a great thing coming, see that's going to happen. And 9 times out of 10, it's already happening right around them. And it's so simple that they don't know it. Now, when he says men has their own ideas, I just want to take that thought a little bit, because God wants us to rely completely, wholly upon him. And he made God that way. But yet we as mortals, we have a hard time leaning upon God in the directions that we should go, in the decisions that we make, in how we handle certain situations. We're more apt to decide things on our own with what seems right. We do our own calculations and make decisions, say, this is the pluses, this is the minuses of this, and, you know, these are the different options, and I think maybe this one's the right way to go. Now, this came to my mind because this thought of this, because, you know, we are all going through struggles in life. And we all are making decisions, some of them very important things right now. And so we're trying to get the right answer. And then sometimes if we're not careful, we want to get the right answer, but we're not including God in the equation. So we do what we think is right based on what we know, and what we know might be pretty good. I mean, it's based on scripture, it's based on, you know, good moral principles, but it may not be the will of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so as I was pondering, you know, when I was at work, I came up with these couple options of how to handle this particular situations. And, you know, I believe a life of a Christian is running into battles, running into conflicts. And so I believe it's how we handle those battles, how we handle those conflicts that makes a difference. It's a difference between somebody that's a human and somebody who is a true Christian. And so, you know, you go through these things and you have a couple options that you go through. And these two options seem pretty good. But I didn't feel quite right. And, you know, the devil wants to steal our time, so we're rushed sometimes about our decisions. And sometimes it's artificial, but we feel the pressure to make a decision. And it's not necessarily that we need to make a decision right then and there, but we feel the pressure to do that. And so I said, I need to take some time to do this. And I believe, and I'm not saying this is doctrine, but I believe that God set a pattern with our prophet to do certain things a certain way for an example. And so, you know, when we go into our prayer time to try to seek the will of the Lord, you know, we go into our closet, we go to our secret place and different things, and those are good. I also know that Brother Branham, he would go out into the woods and, you know, go into nature because he felt at peace out there because he could see God everywhere. So this particular time, I just go out into the woods and just spend some time out there thinking and pondering of God and trying to settle my thoughts a little bit. Because sometimes in the world, we get confused and we don't really see clearly what the answer is sometimes. And so spending time out there just pondering on this decision and what to do, you know, and it doesn't come quickly, you know, but God... Brother Branham would say that we do too much talking and not enough listening. And so when we go out there, we got to think about what the prophet said and try to listen for the voice of God. Amen. Remember Elisha, when he was out there, he saw the earthquake, he saw the fire, he saw these different acts of nature. But he was waiting and he heard, he knew that was God in that still small voice. I believe he still talks that way today. So as I was praying and pondering, then something came from another direction. Something that I had not thought of completely, but it was totally in line with the Spirit of God and in the Scriptures, but it was not in the thought at all. And so as I was coming up with that, I said, wow, you know, I didn't even think of that, and now it's coming to me, and it totally blends in with the Spirit of Christ that I know of and the Scriptures and everything. And then the Scriptures and the message of the hour came to me about how Brother Branham in the seals had talked about not trying to put our own ideas or thoughts to different things. Even in the seals, demonstrating that when the first seal was revealed to him, he said, you know, I had thought it was this way for many years. About up to 30 years ago, I used these scripts, you know, thinking it was Christ on the white horse. But then God revealed it in such a way that I never thought. And so he changed that, and he says, not just this one, but the other seals and different things. And then as he wraps up in the seventh seal, he says, you know, he mentions something about the supernatural. And he says it goes beyond our thinking. But we're sometimes looking for something so big and great, something trembling the building. And sometimes God works that way. But sometimes he works in very humble, quiet, subtle way. And so we've got to pay attention to what he is telling us of how to receive Christ. And so I heard that and I said, wow, you know, this is the way. And you know what? The way, the method that he was showing to me was in the spirit of love. Because many times we want to try to prove something that we are correct. You know, and God is a holy God. He's a righteous God. And he has everything correct. But we as mortals, we don't have everything correct. And so sometimes, you know, as it was in, if you remember Brother Branham talking in the Godhead explained that there were two groups of people that were just at it, right? One was the Trinitarian, one was the oneness. And they were just, they're both Christians. And, you know, he said, you know, assuming they all have the Holy Ghost, but they're at it like this. And so how could this be? Both having, believing in the Pentecostal experience, but just as rough as you could be with each other, right? And then Brother Branham, we know that he gave him the vision long time ago when the tabernacle was dedicated in 1933 about the two trees that would come up and they would bear fruits, but he would stand in between those trees and he would reach out to each tree and he would bear the fruit of those two trees, showing those two denominational groups how there were Christians inside of both of those groups and that, you know, he would stand in between them and be able to bear the fruits. You know, meaning I believe that there would be children of God in each of those, and they would produce Christ. And so when you look at how he handled the different situation, you know, he was in a tough situation where a brother was just railing on him and saying he wasn't a Christian. He was just very outright mean, right? We're talking about a Christian, knowing the Bible and all these different things, but just railing on Brother Branham, trying to prove that he's right. You know, and sometimes in our righteous indignation, we think that we're right about something and we try to prove that, you know, and the doctrine says this and we know and you'll be lost if you don't believe. We got to watch it. So did Brother Branham could have just, you know, put mental gymnastics on him about scripture because we know that Brother Branham given the revelation, but he projected the spirit of Christ. He projected the spirit of love to that person because, you know, as we move on in our Christian journey, God gives us ability to see. Yes. Now, turn if we would, because I want to reference this, so just to solidify that point about us being able to see. If you look at Peter, 2 Peter Chapter 1, and we are very familiar with the scripture talking about the stature of a perfect man. And so he talks about all these different qualities being there. He says in verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So if you have these, you can see. That's what he's saying between the lines. If you lack them, you cannot see. But if you have them, you can see. And so we know that this is the eagle anointing so that we can see. And so Brother Branham could see this brother's situation and see that he had a need. And he looked beyond his fault and he saw the need that he had and his love projected to him. And therefore, that love that projected brought grace to that brother where his heart came around. And then he says, I want that Spirit of Christ that's in you. And so we see that we as Christians, if these qualities continue to abound in us, I was reading where Brother Branham said that, you know, patience, that helps us to have more love. So when you get patience because you go through trials and tests, but if you understand your trials and tests, what is going on? You see what he's saying is true because I have felt that the love, God's love within me is growing as I go through the trials. It helps me to have an understanding and understand people's situation. You know, Brother Branham says if we have something against somebody or they've done something to us, to pray for them. And so as we pray for them, then we begin to see their situation. And then we begin to see and feel sorry for their situation. No, you remember the maniac that came to Brother Branham, you know, the 250 pounds, 260 pounds, 600 or 6 foot two, and he said he's going to crush him, right? And he already beat up a bunch of people. And, you know, he put somebody in the hospital, and he had this reputation, and he was a lunatic. He had a mental issue, and he was huge. He had a demonic power behind him. And so Brother Branham, being a very small man, 120, 130 pounds, and this man came up to him, and he spit in his face. Somebody spit in your face, what are you going to do? No, that's hard. But he spit in his face, called him snake in the grass, all kinds of evil names. Who knows what else he said? But Brother Branham saw this brother. He said something took over. Something took over, and he saw this brother as a human being. He saw this brother as a father with children. He saw this brother as a man with problems and different things. And something took over where he began to feel sorry for this man, feel sorry for him. And then it was a love that was being projected from Brother Branham into this man. And so although he did all these things to him, God gave him the ability to see beyond his faults and what he was doing and see that he needed Christ. And so as he began to speak to him, God gave him those words to speak. Because Brother Branham was a yielded vessel to Christ. Are we yielded vessels to Christ that he can work through in that way? And so the Spirit of God projected, and then we know that he gave Brother Branham just the right words to say. And it was right at the last minute that God took him down. But it was right as he was doing this, about to hit Brother Branham a few inches from him, then God stopped him. And then he fell down, right? And so we can go through situations like that where it seems like something is very fearsome, fearful, something that looks like it's imminent that's going to destroy us or have a big negative impact on our life, whatever it may be. I'm just talking about in general. It can be a person that's trying to destroy you. It can be a situation, a financial situation that seems to be coming to destroy you, or a family situation, or whatever it may be, but it seems like it's going to consume you. And so are you going to fear, or are you going to let the Spirit of Christ come through? Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So when we have fear, then the devil will take over and he will win. Brother Brennan makes a statement that he said a dog will not attack you and bite you if he doesn't feel that you're afraid. But when you're scared and afraid, that's when he'll attack. And so the same thing with Satan. We've got to rely on Christ in such a way that we have no fear. And I'm not talking about making that up, brothers and sisters. We've got to have it when it's there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because, as we all know the story of the bull, when Brother Branham ran into that situation, and God let him run into that situation for you and I. He reached for his gun. It wasn't there. It was for a reason. And so what did he do? He was thinking with his mind at first. He said, I'm going to reach for my gun. I'm going to try to run here. And he knew that those things were not going to work. And so now he's in between a rock and a hard place. And so he knows that if something doesn't happen, he's going to die. And so in his mind, he's thinking, okay, I'm not going to die a coward and run away. I'm just going to die like a man and stand in front of this bull. And so this bull was, you know, it saw him 20 feet away, and it was huffing, and it was puffing, and it was dragging its feet, you know, the whole thing. You've seen it before. And then putting his head down and ready to charge at him. And so as the bull was getting ready to charge at him, he says something took over. Amen. The Spirit of God came upon him. And then what happened? He saw that bull in another light. This is not his human thinking. This is the Spirit of God that comes over him. Now he sees him differently. I don't know about you all, but I'm not going to feel too sorry about a bull usually in my human mind. But he felt sorry for the bull. He said, you know, I've trespassed your home. You felt threatened, you know, and I didn't mean to do that. It was on accident. And so this was true. This was real. That was coming from him with inside his heart. We know it was the Spirit of God that was laying in him. It was projecting itself out. And so that was moving. But you know, like, it didn't stop that bull right away. That bull started charging towards him. And came like within, you know, 5-6 feet, right, you know, maybe 20, 30 miles an hour, who knows, charging at, you know, really fast. And all of a sudden, boom. That's not one thing he expected, right? But Brother Branham says, when that Spirit of God came down, he had no fear. Amen. And so he just, something came over him that he didn't fear the bull. He said when he was with that maniac, something came over him where he had no fear. That was the very person of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when that came down, then it projected himself. And when that love of God projects, then grace comes down. Amen. Where there seems to be no way, that God makes a way. And so if you take that theme of love, when we talk about love, we're talking about agape love. The love of God that comes only from God. When that love is projected, it produces grace. So now you can think about that in your homes, in different situations, where there seems to be no way. Then God can change the situation and turn it around. Amen. We have to have God in here, though. Amen. We have to have Christ in here. Amen. How do we know we have the Spirit of Christ? Because that's always the question. Do we have the Holy Ghost? Do we have the Spirit of Christ? And sometimes people try to make it complicated. You know you have the Spirit of Christ when you begin to see Christ manifested in your life. Because the Spirit of Christ and His Word is the same thing. And so if you have the Spirit of Christ, you will produce the things that are in the Scriptures in the Bible. And so therefore you see the identification that you have the Spirit of God. Amen. Let's all stand if we would. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your Spirit, O Father, and for Your Word. And we are living in, we know on the outside, it is an evil time and the worst church age that has ever come across the face of this earth. But at the same time, O Lord, it is a joyful, jubilant time because the bride is taking her position and realizing who she is, O Father. And Lord Jesus, we know that Your timing is this hour, O Father. And so for us to see these things, to understand them, O Father, so that we can take on Christ and manifest Christ truly in this generation. We know that the sons and daughters of God will stand, O Father, as a witness, O Lord. People will wonder, how did she stand? How did she become the way she is? How could she stand against this evil and produce these works of Christ? It is only by Christ alone we know that, O Father. But Lord Jesus, we desire deeply in our hearts to do this, O Father, because the only reason why is because we love You, O Lord. And that is our only motivation. It's not to become better people. It's not to have certain powers. It is not to be a certain way, O Lord Jesus, but it is strictly because we love You, O Lord. And that is the only motivation for a Christian, is that he is in love, he or she is in love with You, O Lord. Lord Jesus, help us, dear Father. Help us, O Lord, as we face the enemy, O Lord. Let us not be weary in well-doing, but face the enemy, O Lord. Lean on each other, O Father, and let us yield to the Spirit of God that it become more and more manifest in our life, O Father. Lord Jesus, bless the other classes, O Lord. Let them take the words, O Father, and let it sink in their heart, O Father. Lord, the service that's coming, O Father, anoint the song leader, anoint the musicians. Lord Jesus, bring the people into an atmosphere, O Lord Jesus, that they can hear the words of life, hear straight from Your throne, O Lord. Anoint the man of God, O Lord. Take him out of the way, dear Father. Lord, strengthen those that are not here, dear Lord Jesus. Strengthen them while they're traveling. Be with them, O Lord. Protect them, O Father. Lord Jesus, we ask You to have Your way in all things. In Thy name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Be seated.